William Hutchinson with our weekly Rub of the Mind podcast for MindLink Golf, along with Richard Zocal, former PGA Tour player. How you doing, Dick?
I'm doing well, Ian. Good to talk with you again.
You too. And, hey, listen, you know, I'm noticing Graham Dillat has his playoff beard going again.
Yeah.
And I guess there's a reason for that. You know what? I mean, you know, right now we got the web.com finals going on, for one thing. You know,
yep.
We got the FedEx Cup playoffs going on. But, you know, in particular, I find the web.com finals kind of very interesting because, you know, you've got the top, you've got 75 players from the PGA Tour, you know, who didn't make it in the top 125 of FedEx Cup standings.
Yep.
So they're down at the web.com finals right now playing against 75 guys from the web.com tour. For the guys from the web.com tour, I mean, for both sides, really, a lot of pressure there. How do they deal with it?
Well, this is a great subject. I love this. And this is what MindLink Golf is all about in trying to create a new perspective in order to optimize performance. And Hutch, it doesn't matter if you're a tour player or if you're an amateur golfer that's getting ready for the club championship. It's all about conditioning your thoughts when you meet extreme pressure situations.
Right.
So we can look at the analogy of the web.com tour player who's a professional golfer and they're trying to get to the next level of the PGA Tour. So
right.
They've got this series of qualifications called the Final Four tournaments, the four final tournaments of the web.com tour. And they take the next top 25, and then you may have an amateur golfer who's getting ready for their club championship this week, and that is a relative extreme pressure situation for that amateur golfer.
Right.
So the point of the matter is what we want to talk about is if you haven't conditioned yourself to have a healthy perspective, when you enter these extreme pressure situations, it will collapse. So it's relative to all golfers, and if you aren't moving in the right path, if your mind is always about result-oriented results and being, you will automatically stimulate pressure, and you will fight that losing battle. So this is what we want to get into and talk about it. So, it's a great study. We're going to watch the web.com tour finals for the next 4 weeks, and we're going to have a lot of interesting things to discuss.
Well, it's kind of interesting because, you know, right now, as we speak, we've got the first of the web.com finals going on with the Nationwide Children's Charity in Columbus. And at this point, you know, you mentioned the result-oriented thinking. How difficult is that in the first of four tournaments to even be thinking results or final results?
Well, it does. It consumes the golfer. And you remember last week when we were talking about when the tour was coming to an end.
Right.
And if you're a golfer and thinking about, oh, I'm going to be missed, I better start performing, that's where you're projecting forward. That's where anxiety builds.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then the slate is wiped clean and they're entering these four tournament process. So now they're going, okay, I've got four tournaments and they're projecting forward again and I've got to get off to a good start. So they're projecting their performance and it only builds anxiety.
If
you haven't started conditioning your discipline to stay in the moment, which is from a MindLink Golf perspective, is to change your attention from the results to, you know, everyone says, the process. So the process from a MindLink Golf perspective, Hutch, is putting your attention on your two key performance markers, which is on each golf shot, your attention goes on your ability to assess that shot,
right,
and then your attention on to execute that shot,
right,
and then you detach.
Okay.
And, you know, we're working on the software that collects this data,
right,
so it makes it easier, but regardless, but prior to the data, this is a mindset. And basically what you're doing is changing the way you think. It's literally neuroplasticity, creating new networks of thinking from your brain to your muscles.
Right.
And if you don't get on this path, and if you're stuck on the path with results, when you get closer to the finish line of, you know, the qualifying process, you won't be able to handle it properly. So in order to get through these extreme pressure situations, you have to change your perspective if you want to succeed.
Well, and you bring up a good point because, let's say in Columbus, You know, you finish tied for 50th, for example. You know, not a great finish. When you go into the next tournament, it's magnified, isn't it?
It's only magnified if you're off track.
Exactly.
You know, if you're projecting forward, then you, instead of having four tournaments, you have three. And then after the second tournament, instead of, you know, you have two. And then there's one. And it'll culminate to literally the last round and the last hole. And it'll get down to the last shot. We saw that at the Wyndham Championship.
Right.
So in order to escape this golf insanity and optimize your performance, you have to detach emotionally from the results. You have to practice this protocol on a regular basis, so you become conditioned. So when you're in the midst of these four tournaments or whatever the pressure tournament you're in, you inherently fall back into a conditioned response. So this is how you think, and then you again literally rip off that ceiling of being of that pressure being thrust on you,
right.
And you learn to accept. You have acceptance of whatever happens is fine, and then you move on, and then learn to get better at focusing on your attention on your key performance markers. Because when you do that, that's when you obtain freedom. And when you're free in these extreme pressure situations, that's when you have a competitive advantage, and that's how you can optimize your performance.
Right. Well, it's kind of interesting to see, watching a Canadian, David Hearn, for example. Is he better off? I mean, he took the week off as far as Columbus goes. I know he had a few other things. He wanted to take a rest for one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Is he maybe thinking, you know what, I'm going to go out, I'm going to look at fairways and greens, and I'm just going to get through the final three events, or is he putting himself at a disadvantage?
Well, only David knows where he's at. We can speculate all we want.
Sure.
I mean, it's easy for us to sit back and go, okay, well, why is David taking this week off when there's four tournaments?
Sure.
And, you know, I did hear that he's relocating his family down to Delray Beach.
Right.
And he needs some rest. At the same time, you know, knowing the Scarlet course at Ohio State University, I think this is the perfect golf course for David Hearn.
Right.
And also, you know, looking at it from a perspective is that he's giving the rest of the field in the final four events on this test a 25% head start, which is like, wow, that's really saying something. But obviously, you know, he's made a decision. He's probably pretty tired from, you know, a long, hard year.
Absolutely.
And he's deciding to put all his chips in performance of three events.
Right.
So we'll have to see. Regardless, you know, it's going to be a pressure situation, and he's going to have to, like everyone else, he's going to have to, you know, focus.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to have to perform,
right.
And if his head is right,
yeah,
he'll do just fine. If his head isn't right, like the rest of the players,
right,
then there'll be some challenges in there, and
right,
and because that's what this is all about. It's all about, you know, from a MindLink golf perspective, it's all about where you put your attention, and whether your attention is going to empower you to perform or cause you to fail.
Right. Well, is he going in too with the confidence of experience?
Well, he has that, and there's no doubt. I think that David's rock solid that way.
Right.
And I think if push comes to shove, and he's performing, and everything is going well, he has an advantage over the rest of the field,
yeah,
in these events. I just hope that, I'm not sure about these other golf courses, but I do know the Scarlet course at Ohio State. It's a
right,
tough golf course.
Right.
And I would rather see David playing on a tough golf course with these 150 players rather than an easy golf course, because, you know, the Web.com Tour events have a tendency to be a lot easier than PGA Tour
right,
events, and I think that I want to make sure that, you know, I'm hoping that David's not putting himself at a disadvantage.
Right, yeah. Well, I guess it's, I mean, maybe it would have been better for him to hold off on his week off until later on in the Web.com finals, but I guess, you know, it's like you say, I mean, we can sit and speculate all we want. Now, let's take it back to the club championship. I mean, obviously, with Web.com and PGA Tour guys, we're talking about the next step in their careers and,
mm-hmm,
you know, big life moments for them. With a club championship, is the pressure that high?
Well, it's extremely high, and it's actually probably worse for the amateur, because at least the pros, they play on a weekly basis, and
right,
they get to probably, you know, they get to learn from their mistakes if they have a healthy mindset and apply it next week. But the amateur golfer or, you know, the weekend golfer, you know, their mind's somewhere else. It's in business or whatever their daily obligations are. But then once they get to the club championship, they figure they have to go cram it by practicing, you know, long hours, and they probably hurt themselves with hitting so many golf balls. And they really don't have a proper structure, and they're more consumed with the results. So the anxiety just starts to double and triple and fold over, and that's the reason why they shoot ridiculously higher numbers than they typically do, because they make it a much bigger deal than they actually should.
Yeah, it's funny, because the pressure of it being a lifestyle for you, being a career for you, that's a different kind of a pressure than somebody who doesn't live in that environment on a day-to-day
right.
basis.
Oh, exactly. It's kind of that 10,000 hours, you know, that Malcolm Gladwell talked about. The more you do it, the more, you know, you start to settle with the task and whatever the task is, and be able to learn from it. And then when you make excellent progress, then you're really able to get skillful in whatever the demand is. So in this case, it's how we use our minds, and how poorly most people use their minds as well. And it really, it's you know, how poorly we use our minds it applies to professional golfers as well. Just because you're an amateur golfer, just because you're a professional golfer and have this tremendous skill, doesn't mean you're skilled in your thoughts.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, 'tis the season, isn't it? September coming up, and we're thinking finals. We're thinking of, you know, Q schools with the Web.com tour. We're thinking the FedEx Cup. You know, 'tis the season, really. The fall, I guess it's, like I said, with Graham's beard, it's playoff time, and the pressure gets no higher than it is right now.
Yes, and, you know, so over the next few weeks, we're going to have a lot to discuss. I look forward to having more of these Rub of the Mind podcasts about this exact situation. So I look forward to it, Hutch, over the next few weeks.
I think we're going to have a few situations present themselves for us to talk about, Dick.
We certainly will. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you, Dick.